Good morning. It's Wednesday, May 22nd. I'm Gideon Resnick in for Shumita Basu. This is Apple News Today. Coming up on today's show, why the U.S. government is concerned about Ukraine stumbling in its fight against Russia. New legal battles that are pitting actors against AI. And the insect that came to rule the world. But first, let's take a quick look at some other stories that are in the news. Ireland, Norway, and Spain are now recognizing Palestine as an independent state. It's a diplomatic show of support for a two-state solution, with Israel existing alongside an independent Palestinian state. Israel quickly recalled ambassadors in protest. It says the announcements are a reward to Hamas. In Gaza, the UN suspended food deliveries in Rafah. It cites a lack of supplies and inability to access parts of the area safely because of Israeli military activity. Aid workers say that many civilians have already been struggling to get enough to eat. In the U.S., authorities say there are several deaths and injuries in Iowa after a powerful tornado ripped through the town of Greenfield. The local ABC station talked to a lifelong resident there, Valerie Warrior.
It wasn't even 5 minutes. It was done. And I came upstairs and looked around and looked outside, and it was just devastating. You know, you see it on television, but it's different when it happens to you and your house and your town and your people. It's different.
Teams are in place trying to provide shelter and food for residents and to restore power for people whose homes are still standing. In legal news, Donald Trump's New York criminal trial is nearing its end. His defense team rested yesterday after calling two witnesses. Trump himself did not testify. Closing arguments are set for Tuesday after the Memorial Day holiday. Meanwhile, there were primaries across the country last night. Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, the prosecutor in Trump's Georgia election interference case, won in the state's Democratic primary. The judge in the case, Scott McAfee, also won his race in a nonpartisan election. There's more coverage of all the primaries in the Apple News app. And Los Angeles police are further investigating the death of Matthew Perry. The Friends actor died in his hot tub in October. He had an unusual amount of ketamine in his blood. The LAPD is working alongside the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the criminal probe is looking into where he got so much of the drug. Ketamine can be legally prescribed. The medical examiner said that Perry had previously received ketamine infusion therapy, but the ketamine that was found in his system when he died was not from an earlier infusion. Ukraine is in the fight of its life against Russia, and Vladimir Putin's forces have made some recent significant gains.
The front line, the land warfare itself, is looking very grim right now.
NPR's Ukraine bureau chief Joanna Kakissis spoke to us from Kyiv. She says that one big issue for Ukraine is the shortage of weapons. It took the U.S. Congress 7 months to approve tens of billions of dollars in new aid. And during that holdup, troops lost some critical ground.
And so you saw that slowly happening month after month, you know, soldiers rationing ammunition, soldiers saying there are just too many of them, there's not enough of us, and we can't keep up with them, we don't have the weapons to fire back. The Russians have opened up several fronts, and the most recent front is actually in the northeast, outside of Kharkiv, which is the second largest city in Ukraine.
It had a pre-war population of 1.4 million people, but recently thousands have had to evacuate. Russian forces have moved within striking distance. Kakissis says that they're already bombing the city daily, and Ukraine has been forced to divert troops to hold them off.
But if the Ukrainians can't keep the Russians back, the Russian troops could come close enough to the city to hit it with artillery, and that would make Kharkiv a very hard place to live.
And she says there's a noticeable difference in how certain Ukrainian leaders are talking about the war amid these setbacks, compared to just a year ago when hopes were high for a counteroffensive that ultimately didn't have a major impact.
everyone used to talk about victory. They would start their sentences with, when we have victory, or when we achieve the victory. And you don't hear people talking that way anymore. People don't talk about the war in those terms anymore. They're kind of grimly committed to holding the line. But beyond that, the future seems very unclear.
An increasing number of actors and artists say artificial intelligence companies are using their voices without permission. Just this week, Scarlett Johansson accused OpenAI of creating a voice that sounds a lot like hers.
Once upon a time, in a world not too different from ours, there was a robot named Byte.
That's a clip from a demo of the ChatGPT voice assistant called Sky, played on NPR. It immediately drew comparisons to Johansson's role in the movie Her, where she voices a virtual assistant. Now, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman had previously said that was his favorite movie, and in fact had reached out to Johansson about licensing her voice for the new product. The company said that it went with a different actor when Johansson declined. OpenAI has since dropped the voice and said it was sorry that it didn't communicate better. Other celebrities say that they've been in the same boat. Tom Hanks says an AI version of himself was used in a video ad for a dental plan without his permission. And at a Senate hearing on the issue just last month, lawmakers played a clip of an AI-generated Tupac verse on a Drake song.
Kendrick, we need ya, the West Coast savior. Ain't Grady your name and some hip-hop history. If you deal with this viciously, you seem a little nervous.
Tupac's estate sent a cease and desist letter demanding the song be taken down, and Drake obliged. But it's not just high-profile voices being recreated. Last year, voice actors Linnea Sage and Paul Sky Lehrman were listening to a podcast featuring a voice that sounded a lot like Lehrman, except he had never been on the show. They both say they previously recorded voice projects that they were told were for research or testing purposes. Now they allege that an AI firm called Lovo recorded their voices under false pretenses, and they want $5 million in damages. The New York Times posted audio comparisons of the real and AI-generated voices.
Hi, my name is Linnea Sage, and I'm a voiceover artist. This is my normal speaking voice, but this is the corporate and commercial speaking voice that I use in most of my voiceover.
And this is an example of the AI-generated voice.
Our certified teachers are ready to help your son or daughter conquer their fears of reading, writing, arithmetic, and more.
Lovo denies the claims in the suit. CNN explains how it's the latest in a wave of legal action by creators against various tech companies. The artists say their work is being used to train AI systems that could ultimately compete with them. The lawsuits raise concerns over how building these AI models, which require troves of data, both voice and text, could run afoul of copyright and intellectual property laws. And these are just the first legal fights of many. As a new technology gets bigger and bigger, and lawmakers and judges work to figure out how to deal with it. Sorry in advance, but we're going to close today talking about bugs. And not just any bugs, but maybe the worst kind to encounter, the dreaded cockroach. The type you're most likely to find scuttling around a building anywhere in the world is called the German cockroach. For centuries, scientists have been working to crack the code on how these tiny brown pests got so pervasive. The Washington Post looks at a new study that offers an answer, and I'm sorry to say, humans are the ones to blame here. This cockroach evolved specifically to live and to thrive in homes and buildings, so without us, they really wouldn't exist. Researchers concluded they evolved from a close relative called the Asian cockroach after moving in with people from either India or Myanmar more than 2 millennia ago. As humans moved around the world, the bug moved with them, staying nice and cozy on planes, trains, and cars. And these roaches developed an uncanny ability to survive. If you've ever tried to smash, trap, or poison one, you know exactly what I mean. The researchers' discovery is a big win for Germans, who've been saddled with the reputation for these roaches for hundreds of years. That was a combination of bad timing and geopolitics. So when the cockroach was first recorded in Europe, the old German state was involved in a war with Sweden. The thing to do back then was to name a nasty bug after your enemies. The legendary Swedish biologist Carl Linnaeus chose the name German cockroach, and it stuck. Understanding the origin of the roaches and trying to figure out how to stop the spread is important because they're a risk to public health. As scientists do the work, one has a recommendation. It's time to give these bugs a new, more accurate name and let Germany off the hook. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening to the News app right now, we have a narrated article coming up next. Smithsonian Magazine tells the story of the doctor responsible for one of the most controversial health concepts of our time, calorie counting, and what we know today about the science of this practice. If you're listening in the podcast app, you can follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.